Welcome to Informed Aging, a podcast about health, help, and hard decisions for older adults. I'm Robin Roundtree. I'm a former family caregiver, and I've worked in the home care industry, now work for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center. With me is my co-host, Edith Gendron. She's the Chief of Operations for the Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center, a Positive Approach to Care certified trainer and consultant, and a former family caregiver with well over 30 years of experience in the industry. The thoughts and opinions expressed belong to Edith and I, not our wonderful employers and sponsors. If you feel like getting mad, get mad at us and not at them. Before making any significant changes in your life or your person's life, please consult your own experts. Today, we're talking to an amazing couple, and we are talking again about early onset Alzheimer's. We got to talk about it because it's increasing. And guys, this is going to be a great story, so stay tuned.
Senior Helpers is the only home care agency offering a revolutionary new way to approach senior care, the Life Profile Assessment. This data-based app is a crucial tool in helping seniors age safely and successfully at home. Combined with our proven in-home care programs and trained caregivers, Senior Helper's Life Profile is leading the way to better outcomes for our clients. For more information, log on to seniorhelpers.com.
And we're back, and today we've got Francisco Rios, also goes by Paco.
Yes.
Yes. Hi. And his wife, Zadie Burgos. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for inviting us.
Absolutely. I remember one Sunday morning in June, I opened up the physical newspaper. We still get that. And this couple was on the front page. And I went, oh. Then I read the article and I said, I've got to meet these two. What a story. What a story. So Zadie, you are a clinical psychologist.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? And Francisco, you may not be working now, but
I'm not.
What were you doing before?
In Puerto Rico, I was a lawyer. When we moved to Florida, I couldn't get a job as a lawyer, so I actually worked for TSA.
Okay. So, two very intelligent people, and life was going very well, and then something started to happen. What happened?
So, yes, you're very right, actually. I like to say to people when people ask us, like, we were having truly kind of the best season of our lives. We've been together for 20 years. Back when everything started, we were actually living, like, the best time. We were traveling. My career was blooming. You know, I was very stable. And we had time to do things. We don't have any children, but we have an amazing family, very supportive. And we were actually living life. When all of this started to happen, it was maybe like in 2020, 2021 is when I started noticing some of the things. But to be honest, I wish I could tell you that I knew immediately that this was anything to do with Alzheimer's or dementia, but that's not the truth.
And how old was Paco at that
time? So Paco, how old were you?
44.
You're 44, 45. Yep.
Obviously, Alzheimer's is not what you're thinking of.
You don't think anything related to dementia, Alzheimer's, nothing. So initially, I'm a psychologist, like you mentioned, right? So I rationalized everything. It was a pandemic. In 2018, Paco had a back injury. He fractured his spine. Hmm. So I thought whatever reactions he was having at the time were due to, you know, the fracture and the recovery and the pandemic. Yeah, life. Like, yeah. It's, you know. So I started to noticing changes in, I want to say, personality. So I've known him, I've known Paco for 20 years, and I know how he behaves normally. And when I noticed he started eating carbs and sugars, right? But this is not necessarily like, oh, I'm a sweets person. No, mm-hmm. No. It was like he started substituting meals for just donuts and just like ice cream. And it was like significant amounts of money going into that specific obsession. It was like significant and also impacted his weight. So initially I'm thinking, you know, depressed people eat sweets. They want to eat carbs and they want to eat ice cream for dinner. So I minimized it, right?
Paco, you were living my dream life there for a while. We know it's not a long-term thing, but
Maybe I'd like to try it for a weekend.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it was so annoying because it was like deliveries, like boxes of Amazon Fresh, uh-huh. 4 times a week of ice cream. And it's just like, come on, like, this is not good.
Wow.
So that started to happen. And then like some changes in personality, like buying stuff, like very poor judgment, I want to say, right? Investing in things that I was completely not okay with. But I said, no, he's depressed. Let him, if he wants to buy stuff, let him buy stuff. If he wants to invest in Bitcoin, let him invest in Bitcoin. And at the time, we don't have children, you know, we could afford it. But looking back, it's just like, that's insane. Like, how did I went along with it? But that's part of the rationalization, normalization. I guess I didn't want to see it at the time. And then he started, I remember clearly, and this is in 2021, he was standing in front of the fridge and he looked at me and said, I'm forgetting things. I'm forgetting things. Mm. And I said, well, you're depressed. That's me, my clinical right? mind, brilliant clinical mind. I'm like, you're depressed. Depressed people forget because your attention is not good. Your concentration is not good. You're taking medications. Because I have to go back and say that initially I thought it was depression. 100%, I'm like, you're depressed. Like all these changes, you're depressed. And I'm in mental health. So I sought the best psychiatrist I could find. And we started treatment with a psychologist. But the thing is, it never got better. Mm. And that should have been also a red flag for me.
Well, it's easy to see the red flags
now,
looking back. Absolutely. Yep. Paco?
Yes.
Do you have memories of this time?
I do. I still am craving carbs all the time. So if they let me, I will do that the same thing again. And I won't buy every book and every t-shirt available. So I still am like that. I'm just aware of it. So I know, you know, I know how to control myself, at least for now.
At the time, though, you just thought, this is what I want.
Yes, exactly. That's what I want. And that's what I'm going to get. And nobody's going to stop me.
That's something that we've talked about. When he says awareness, I think it's more like, I'm there to stop you. Because like yesterday, literally last night, I'm like, I'm seeing new books. I'm like, fuck, oh, what are these books? And like, I got these books. And I'm like, how weird. Where are they about? Vampires. I'm like, vampires? Like, you've never been interested in that. So it's just more than I'm more involved and I'm taking over. Because otherwise he'll, like he says, I 100% back you up. He will just get whatever. Like, there's no filter or there's no, the neurologist explained that there's no breaks. So he will go for whatever he wants. And there's not necessarily the awareness.
Paco, when you eat the simple carbs, when you eat the ice cream, when you eat the donuts and other yummy things, do you feel differently? Do you think differently? How do you describe the effect on you when you eat those things?
I feel satisfied because it's a craving and I'm satisfying that craving. But other than that, after the fact that I ate those half dozen donuts, I feel bad about myself because I cannot control it and it's bad. And I've gained like 20, 25 pounds in the last couple of years. So it's been humbling, I guess, is the word.
Yeah. Does anything at all, and you're probably going to laugh, like eating dates help instead of eating a donut? Or would that be...
Yeah, exactly.
Not really, no.
Because, you know, they're very,
I
very
love
sweet.
Donuts, so
nice try.
No. Yeah, I'm trying.
I'm actually vegan, so at least for that thing, I'm not like breaking my veganness, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I do not break that. I am vegan, so I crave vegan donuts. I don't go to any other thing. So, but other than that, I crave every vegan donut, ice cream, or whatever.
I wanted to add, when we went to, because Paco is treated at Johns Hopkins. He's treated locally, but his main doctor is in Johns Hopkins because they have like one of the best young onset dementia clinics in the country. So it was until we were there that they explained to us kind of the mechanism behind what's happening. And that's when I learned that specifically is a cardinal symptom of these type of dementias. It's something that's very prevalent. Now that I talk to a lot of wives and caregivers, they're like, yeah, I'm struggling with the same. And it's basically a mechanism in the brain. So this disease attacks specific areas of your brain, and it attacks the satisfaction system, you know? Right. And it's literally, they explain to us, it's like almost like a person who has an addiction and his body is craving. So it's not necessarily that he's being stubborn. So that was a shift for me, because I was like, you're choosing to do this. You're choosing to do this, to understanding that this is his brain that's ill, you know, and that he's literally craving this as any other person who has a substance abuse problem, let's say, will have. So having to make that shift made me understand, and helping him also control it, because he doesn't necessarily have the control in his brain, because his brain is just asking for it. And it's funny, because sometimes when people are with us and they don't necessarily understand that he's sick, they think that he's making this up. Like, they will probably think that he's like, it's a joke, but he's actually like, I want my ice cream, you know, like he wants the ice cream, or he just begs for it. And people think it's funny, but it's for me, it's not, you know,
laughing.
Yeah, it's not funny, but it is funny for us, you know, because we are living with this. But when people look at it from a different perspective, it's just like, there's so much more in terms of the biology of the disease that's causing that specific behavior. It's funny because Paco sometimes surprises me. Like, sometimes he cannot even make a phone call to make an appointment, but he'll find all of the candy and all of the sweets and all of the ice cream that he can get. And then he has a list. And it's funny that way. So, yes, he has identified all of these local chocolate makers. And he'll get them and he'll enjoy thoroughly. But he will eat it all at the same time. And that's it.
Yeah. Does... just as like one bite of a donut isn't going to do it for you.
Well, it is going to do it, but after I finish that donut, I'm going to want more.
Right. So it is like an addict's brain.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and sugar is addicting. We know
it is. Yeah. And a bite of a donut is not going to make it for you, be honest.
No.
No, he'll go through the whole thing. He'll eat like 12 donuts if it's there. And this is another thing that we're doing. And I actually did this yesterday. I was shopping for groceries and my cousin was with me, and she wanted to get, because it's not necessarily only donuts, it's just whatever he wants, right? And we were getting grapes, and she said, oh, I'm going to get grapes for everybody. I said, no, if you want to get grapes, you get these grapes for you, and then I'll get another one. Otherwise, Paco is going to eat it. And then you're going to be out of grapes. So we had to get like two so that he's okay eating his grapes and he doesn't have to be bothered by us coming like, oh my God, you ate the whole thing. So it's just, you know, it's how we manage it, I guess, you know.
But it's not only food. I do that with like t-shirts and with books.
Now, books I can understand.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Like, I have a whole lot of books without reading, and I get like a whole lot more, and then I read them like the just half of it, and then I want to read this one, and I go through half of it, and then I go, I want to read this one, and I'll go half of it. So I've always
kindred spirit.
I've got books, I'm not kidding, throughout the house. This one's fiction, this one's nonfiction.
Exactly.
So, hey, don't let anybody tell you there's something.
Yeah, don't listen to me.
Yeah.
Here we are, enablers. We'll be back talking to Francisco Paco Rios and his lovely wife, Zadie Burgos, right after this. For over 37 years, the Alzheimer's and Dementia Resource Center, ADRC, has served as a Central Florida-based grassroots nonprofit and community resource center. They are dedicated to providing support and hope for families and individuals caring for someone they love who is living with Alzheimer's disease or other dementia-related illnesses. ADRC empowers caregivers with the knowledge, support, skills, and strategies they need to help them confidently prepare for the challenges that lie ahead. To learn more, visit the website adrccares.org. We're back on Informed Aging. We've been talking with Zadie Burgos and Francisco Paco Rios about their journey with early onset dementia. We had some behaviors that showed themselves, and you're dealing with them.
So I guess that's the growing that we're doing. We're learning all of these little changes that are happening and all of the symptoms that have been there, but I don't necessarily realize it, you know, back then. And just moving forward with the new reality and how do we manage that and continue to live life and laugh and not be completely devastated.
So how long did it take from when you started seeing these changes to get a diagnosis, the correct diagnosis?
So all of this was happening for a year. And like I said, he was in treatment. The psychiatrist, which is great, she's here locally, and she was throwing everything at him, but he was not getting any better. It was actually a abnormal routine eye exam that kind of opened this Pandora box.
What?
Yes, yes. And I had to deal with my own professional and clinical guilt because it was there. It's always been there. And I supervise fellows, interns, students. And if I were discussing this case in a supervision meeting, 2 minutes, well, that's what's happening. But it's my husband. Mm-hmm. So I did not see it coming, to be honest. So he takes a medication for which he needs to have eye exams every 6 months, right? So he went to that appointment. I sent him in. I drove him. And I said, do you go in? I'm going to stay in the car. Whatever. He went in and then the doctor called me. He's like, we need you to come in. I'm like, what? I'm like, that's abnormal. He said, no, just come in. I'm like, okay, I'll be there. And I walk in and he says, sit down. I think he has a brain tumor. I'm like, I said, what? He said, I think he has a brain tumor. He needs an MRI like right now. Because look at this. And then he showed me the visual fields exam, right? And I'm like, what? Like, that's not. So we did the brain MRI. It came back. No tumor.
Yay.
No tumor, yay. But then it says his brain is abnormal for his age. It's small. It's getting smaller.
Oh.
So he's like, oh, we need to do another MRI. So we did another MRI. Second MRI was like the second week of January of 2022. And then when the second abnormal MRI came back, he said, you need to see a neurologist. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll see. Like, right. The worst thing is he had a tumor, no tumor. So we're just going to follow up. And we went to the neurologist. He sent us, this is like all happening like in a 3 week period from holidays, Christmas. Yay. To what is going on. We went to the neurologist January 28th. I will never forget that date. And she's sitting us down in their office and she's asking me all these questions. And what I'm explaining to you is, I've noticed that he's eating a lot of carbs and that he's kind of very impulsive, which he's never had, wasting money. And she's asking me these questions and I'm just spitting them out, like answering all these questions. And she's looking at me and I could see that she was getting kind of desperate. And she's like looking at me. And then she had her laptop like you mm-hmm. had. And she said, Saidi, I said, I want you to look at this. And then she turned it over. And that's when I saw the MRI. I had only read the report. I had never seen the images. And we've had several things happen to us in 20 years. But I literally say my life, the turning point was that moment when she turned that MRI and she said, look at this. And when I saw that image, it was like water, cold water was being poured over me. And then she says, do you understand? And my clinical brain literally switched for the first time in this whole process. And it's been a year of us struggling at home. And she says, I think that there's something serious going on. I'm going to do more tests. We're going to do a PET scan. This might be nothing. Let's just do. And then the PET scan came. Like, this is 2 weeks after. The PET scan says, this is consistent with Alzheimer's. So she said, because he was 46, just turned 46 a few months before, she says, this is not normal. We're going to send you to the best clinic that we think. And that's when she sent us to Hopkins. And then they did more tests. And then the final kind of no doubt about it came there because they did the genetic testing. And when they're saying, we're going to do genetic testing, he's been doing all kinds of tests. So initially, I'm like, do whatever you have to do.
Right.
It's okay. Like, we're here to get a diagnosis because even then, I'm thinking, probably depressed. Yeah, he's probably depressed. Like, it's probably psychosomatic. You know, I'm like talking to myself. And then when they sat us down and I saw the geneticist completely tearful, like her eyes were completely full with tears and their voices were cracking. That's when I said, that was the second moment, like, this is serious. And that's when she said, this is a genetic mutation. We have no doubt that you have Alzheimer's, because this is, there's only two ways to guarantee that someone will have Alzheimer's, and is if you have a genetic mutation in the presenilin one or two genes, and you have it. And it was just like, oh God.
Wow.
So that's kind of the story, the summary of the story.
Well, that's the summary of the story of the diagnosis, but there is still so much more to your story. And we're going to get back to this wonderful couple in part two of this podcast. Please make sure to subscribe to our podcast. Give us great reviews. That would be wonderful. Tell your family and friends about us. We do appreciate that so much. You can find us on facebook.com/informedaging. Today's episode was recorded at Digital Broadcasting's podcast studio. That's it for now. We're looking forward to our next visit.